morning, everyone, and welcome to Take-Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and joining me tonight as my co-host is, I think his name is David. I just hooked up with him on the corner. Is that yep. your name?
Yep, I say look.
Yes, we are dorky tonight, that's us, but we're
yep.
going to have fun.
And it's cold out.
Yeah, it's cold out. It's actually not that bad here in Chicago today. I mean, of course, the sun is going down and it always gets colder, but during the day, I don't know what the temperature was, but when the sun is out, it always makes things better, you know?
Yes, it does.
Well, I guess we should get started, and I'd love to welcome our guest tonight because I've been so looking forward to this. Joining us tonight is well-known author and numerologist Michael John Fierro, the man with three names. Hello, Michael.
Good evening.
Michael.
Hey. So where are you at? Are you on the East Coast?
Yeah, I'm at the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
Oh.
So you're probably having similar weather like David is because David's in New York.
Yeah, I was in probably mid-50s today. It's supposed to be up near 70 over the next couple of days. So,
yes, it is.
Oh, lucky you. I think I need to take a vacation for a couple of days.
There you
come
go.
Over.
Better do it quickly before it changes again.
Right? By the time I fly there, it's going to change, you know how that goes, especially here in Chicago. You know, you kind of look at what time it is to tell what the weather's like. It changes so quickly. And I know that people that live downtown near the lake, you know, they're usually colder than us here in the suburbs. Does it work that way over by you as well?
No, actually, being near the ocean keeps it a little bit warmer.
Oh, okay.
I mean, especially because I'm very close. I mean, I'm less than, as the crow flies, probably a mile from the ocean. And, you know, during the winter, there's many times where we will get rain or surrounding areas will get snow because of the temperature differential because of the ocean.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And I guess you'll always stay there unless you're a snow-type person.
Well, I'd like to get out of here.
Where would you like to go?
anywhere but here sometimes.
Right. Yeah. I want to go where it's warm all year round. You know, people talk about loving the changing seasons and stuff like that. When you grow up in Chicago, at least for me, I'm tired of it at my age now. I want to go somewhere and just, like, chill and be in the sun.
Yeah, well, I lived in Fort Lauderdale for 13 years, and I would never go back there. So, too much hot weather after a while gets to be a bit boring, actually.
Really? Well, I'll have to test that out myself.
And when I moved back up north after 13 years in Florida, I couldn't wait for the first night that I got to wear a sweater or a jacket. It was actually pretty exciting. So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I have to test that out for myself someday and go live somewhere for a few years and see how I feel about it. But I know right now the way I feel is I can't stand winter. So anywhere but here. But let's back up a little bit and go into your history and tell us and the listeners how you became interested in numerology.
Well, back in 1984, I was still living in Florida, and I came to New Jersey. We had a surprise birthday party for my mom, and after dinner, the siblings all went over to my brother's apartment, and we're hanging out, and my youngest sister was there, and she started doing this numerology stuff, and I had no idea what it was. Absolutely, I'd never heard of it. I had no idea what it was about or how it was done, and you know, it's interesting today because after 30 years of working with it, I still encounter a very high percentage of people who have no idea what it is. But in any event, she did this numerology, and she did a reading for me, and it was unbelievably accurate. And because I was always good in math and I had a head for numbers, the fact that it was a numbers-based modality kind of piqued my curiosity. And that started me on my journey with it. I dabbled in it for the first few years, and then in the early 90s began to pursue it more with more interest and more dedication, and been working with it really ever since that day, though.
Well, what type of training do you have for it? I mean, are there, like, classes or something that you can take in colleges, or is this something that you learn on your own from other people?
Well, as with most things that I've ever done in my life, I taught myself. It's a relatively easy modality to learn, and I say relatively easy. I mean, obviously, there's intricacies and details that with time become a little more evident, but compared to learning, say, astrology, it's certainly much simpler because all you really need to know is the alphabet, the numbers 1 through 9, and then understand the meanings of the numbers and how they play out. You know, with astrology, you need to learn all those different angles, the planets and all of that other stuff. And, you know, astrology can be a lot more difficult to learn. Where numerology, quite honestly, if you read my book cover to cover and paid attention, by the end of the book, you would be able to understand it and at least, you know, do a chart for yourself to get a better basic understanding.
And those are key words, paid attention, when you read it,
exactly.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how numerology and astrology are similar to each other. So astrology sounds like it's a lot more steps and a lot more complicated to understand than numerology itself.
Well, to construct a chart, yes, definitely you need to certainly know what you're doing with astrology. Not that you don't need to know what you're doing with numerology, but again, it's a little bit simpler to work with. As far as similarities, it's amazing. If you get a good astrological reading and a good numerological reading, you'll pretty much receive the same information. I do a lot of radio, and I'm a frequent guest on some astrologist programs, and it's always we always both find it interesting when in taking a caller, I will offer up my interpretation, my perspective based on numerology, and then he'll follow with saying, well, this is this particular aspect in your chart, and it definitely coincides with what I have said.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, as far as being an author, your first book that you wrote was called 9/11 for the Soul, 4/11 for the Mind, A Collection of Thoughts and Meditations. Would you tell us more about the book and what's it consist of exactly?
Well, that first book I did in the late 90s, and it was just a collection of, you know, different things I'd come across in life or certain different things that I had conceived of in my own mind. So it was really one of those books where, let's say you're stuck in a particular area in your life, you open it to a random page, see what it says to you, and it, you know, so use it as somewhat of a guidance tool. And I did right after I finished that book is when I started writing my numerology book, which actually took me until 2009 to complete.
Yeah, and that book is called You Know Your Name, Look Up Your Number, An Introduction to Numerology. Now, did you do any other research on it, or it was all based on your knowledge and experience?
Based on my knowledge and experience. Again, it's almost 30 years now I've been working with it. I've worked with thousands of clients, and through the years have certainly developed a vast storehouse of knowledge and information about the topic. And, again, having used it regularly, was able as time went on to develop different connections between different numbers and, start to kind of knit things together, so to speak. So there's some of my work that may be a little different than what you may find out there otherwise, because there's, for instance, there's a certain segment of the chart that's known as the challenges. When the challenges come out of your birth date, and they're the issues in life. These are the things that can really trip you up. These are things that in many instances can drive you into therapy. But through my work and through my understanding of the numbers, I was able to discern that particular numbers certainly indicated conditions and situations in life that can certainly be very traumatic or dramatic, things like abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, divorce, addictions, anger issues, all of that stuff. So I put a great deal of emphasis that in my work because of, again, the negative impact it can have in one's life, and also to get people to understand that if it's in your chart, that you need to understand that on some level, you asked for it to be there. I firmly believe that you chose your name and your birth date and your family of origin because your soul understood and knew who you needed to be and what you needed to do in this lifetime. So within the context of your name and birth date are all of those things. So let's just say, for instance, that you're the child of an alcoholic. And if it shows up in your chart, that would be a 7 challenge, especially in the first position. Then obviously on some level you needed that experience. So rather than go through, and the goal of my work is personal empowerment through understanding, acceptance, and responsibility. Understand that it's there and it's there for a reason. Accept that fact and then take responsibility for yourself. So rather than going through life being a victim, pointing the finger at mommy or daddy or whomever else for your woes, take responsibility for the fact that on some level you ask to participate in that particular scenario because there was something there for you to learn.
That's really interesting. I never would even think of something like that. Because and it's funny, too, that you bring up a child of an alcoholic because I am one. You know, my father's an alcoholic. And now you're saying that my soul actually chose to be who I am and my birth date and so forth and my family. And I'm wondering what I needed to learn from that experience.
Well, you know, I
guess
have a
not to be one, you know.
Well, obviously, you know, that would be one of them. And the caution would have been very strong for you to be careful to avoid that type of behavior. Now, I have a 7 challenge in a first position. I came out of a family. My father was a compulsive gambler. So that 7 challenge obviously indicated that. And the caution was there for me to be very aware of and very careful of not slipping into some type of addictive behavior throughout the course of my life. You know, there's other conditions and whatnot that apply to a 7 challenge. But for me, obviously the most dramatic would be that addiction thing because of as you can well attest, the extremely negative impact that can have on your home life and on your behavior. And in that vein, one of the things I've been advocating for a great many years, and actually I write a monthly column for a couple of online magazines, and what I addressed this month was the use of numerology in the educational system as a better means to understand children and then use it as a guideline in how to handle them and guide them and also how to teach them. Because
need to read that. I have 4 of those little monsters, but 3 are pretty much grown.
Well, because my belief is this, and let's, again, we'll just stay with the addiction milieu here. If you could identify little Johnny when he entered the school system, that there was a high probability that he comes out of a family where addictions are an issue. Now, anyone who knows that people who come out of alcoholic families tend to start acting up in their teens.
Right.
There's really not too much difficulty until they hit their teen years, and then it just blows up. Well, if you can identify little Johnny when he entered the school system, that this, in fact, is an issue, then you could work to overcome and circumvent the inevitable behavior. And rather than ending up in a situation where you are now attempting to close the barn door after the fact, you could work with that child to educate him, to counsel him, and to guide him to overcome that. Because the thing with challenges are that they are there for a reason. And the mantra with the challenges is that once you learn what they are and once you work to overcome them, you then become them. And what starts out as an asset ends up as, or what starts out as a liability ends up as an asset. That behavior gets flipped. Because the positive side of the seven challenges is learning to get in touch with your inner self, learning to trust yourself, learning to think about and study things and come to a greater personal understanding on a intellectual and spiritual level so you can go through life better equipped and better able to handle that which shows up.
Well, you've been doing this for over 30 years, and my oldest child is 29, so where the heck have you been?
Right here in Jersey.
I wish I would have known about that a long time ago because I really, you know, my oldest child has had issues. And it's
well, when's
called,
his birthday?
When's his birthday? It's 7/10/84.
Okay, so he has a three-life path, but his challenge is a sixth challenge in the first position, and that's followed by 2-3 challenges and a lifetime challenge of three. Was there a divorce or some sort of situation in the family when he was young?
I was a single mother with him for a few years.
Okay. In his early years, before the age
yes,
of 33?
Yes, from when he was born until he was about 3 1/2.
Okay, well, the sixth challenge, the basic condition of the sixth challenge is that an individual needs to learn responsibility and how to responsibly handle life and the different duties and obligations of life. But the darker part of the sixth challenge is it can be an indication of abuse along the lines of physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. It can also be an indication of a broken home, a non-existent relationship with a parent, a situation where a parent has gone either through divorce, separation, death, whatever the case may be. And also there's an element of stubbornness associated with your son there, too. My wish for him and for you is that he's mellowed on this, but there's a part of him at times that thinks he's always right.
Yep, that's him.
So at times can be very, very difficult to deal with. And with the three lifetime challenge, there's some issues there with self-esteem and self-expression. His major challenge in life was to get a better sense of who he is and to find his voice. He needs to learn and understand that what he has to offer has value and that he needs to find a way to express himself in a healthy fashion, that allows him to speak his mind and to speak his heart. But again, he needs to be open to opinions and whatnot of other people that surround him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of hard when you're the parent and you're telling them from your life experience, you know, how to handle their life and their situations or situations that may come up in, you know, their teen years or whatever years. And they kind of, you know, it goes in one ear and out the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
he definitely does
not accept responsibility for things that he's done. So that's definitely him.
Yeah.
All the way around.
And he has a seventh cycle in the first position, again, which would cover the first 33 years of his life. So there's this kind of inner turmoil going on there, too. Again, his greatest beneficial act would be to learn, to study, to gather information and wisdom and knowledge about different aspects of different things in life and then find a way to incorporate them into his life without retreating too deeply into himself as kind of a defense mechanism.
Well, I'm going to let him listen to this podcast and see if maybe it'll open any doors in his mind.
What does he do for a living?
He does customer service.
Okay. Because he's got a three-life path, so there's a creative element there for him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with the three challenging the three life path, and actually his life path is a 30 over a 3, which would show the transitional lifetime on that level of the 3, expressing himself creatively, being emotionally healthy and able to express himself emotionally and creatively and personally is very, very important for him. So to be involved in things where he has to speak to others, obviously customer service, he would do that. But I would strongly urge him to develop some sort of a creative pursuit for himself, some way that he can kind of put it out there and get it out of himself, again, feelings, emotions, and whatnot. Again, finding his voice. This is the biggest thing that he must do in his lifetime is to find his voice.
Well, so after he turns 33, does his numbers change, or how does that work?
Well,
you're saying the first 33 years of his life.
At 33, he would go into his second cycle, which is governed by the day of his birth, which would be a 1. So this is the middle period of his life, from 33 to 60, is very much a period where he has to really step into himself. He needs to learn to stand on his own 2 feet. He needs to learn to be his own person. He needs to be a leader in his own life.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for him to take responsibility there, blame people and situations and circumstances for his lot in life. It's very, very important for him in that middle section of his life that he does that for himself.
Yeah, and that's what we've been wanting for him for, you know, all of his life. And he does blame everybody else. Nothing's ever his fault. He, you know, he had no responsibility whatsoever. So I'm really hoping and praying that, you know, this does change when, hopefully before he's 33, but he's 29 already. So, you know, let's hope that he grows up and comes into his own.
Right, and the other part of that 6th challenge, now, although the challenges cover specific periods of time in one's life, they can be at play throughout the life until they really get learned. And one of the other conditions of the 6th challenge is an element of codependency. It needs to be
on
very
people
careful.
Or on things?
So, yeah, that can apply to anything.
Anything? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he may have a tendency at times to attract to himself codependent relationships.
Mm-hmm.
He may seek out codependent relationships. So, again, a lot of what, without knowing his full name, a lot of what he's about is going to have to do with, he's got to reverse all of the negativity associated with the challenges. He has
okay.
to become responsible. He has to learn to be considerate of others. He needs to learn to be tolerant of others in respect of, you're not always right. You need to listen to other people. And again, finding mm-hmm. his voice in a fashion that makes him feel good about himself and allows him to grow a little more comfortable with who he is.
Mm-hmm. This is extremely, extremely interesting. I had no idea that all of this was put into numerology, that you could read so much about a person like you can astrology, but it almost seems like it's more detailed.
In some ways it is. Now, again, a good astrologer who really knows his or her stuff will get into that kind of depth. But, again, the thing with numerology is because of the relative simplicity, I don't want to undersell that, you know, obviously there's some difficulty
mm-hmm.
with it, but there is a relative simplicity with it that is real. And relatively easy. Again, if you bought my book, if you did your own chart and did it correctly and then just went through the book and read the different definitions and descriptions of the different aspects of your chart, when you were done, you would look at it and say, yes, that is me. And then you could do
mm-hmm.
charts for people around you because many times individuals aren't really honest about themselves. It's
mm-hmm.
always interesting to me when I'm doing a lecture or doing a party or whatnot and I'll pick someone to do it as an example, and I will say something to them, and they'll be shaking their head no, and all the people that are surrounding them who know them will be shaking their head yes.
Yeah.
So many times we don't self-identify honestly. Although my experience is also, though, on a one-to-one basis, when I'm working with a client, there's a greater likelihood that they will be honest. And quite honestly, I can tell when they're lying because I see it in the chart. And not that I'm infallible, but in the almost 30 years I've been doing this, and again, thousands and thousands of clients, my accuracy rate is in the high 90 percentile. So I know what I'm seeing when I'm looking at someone's name and birth date on a piece of paper. You can deny it, but, you know, you're really being honest with yourself.
David, do you want to throw your birth date out there for Michael and let him tell you something about yourself?
Sure. Are you ready, Michael?
Sure.
Okay. April 23rd.
1961. Okay. Okay, well, you have a 17-8 life path. So the 8 life path gives you great business acumen. You have a talent for making money, but money may also be your biggest issue. As much talent as you may have in making money, you may find that money is quite a difficult thing for you to deal with. The big lesson of the 8 life path is to learn about money and the energy of money. 8 is a very powerful number. There's a great deal of strength. You're the type of person who would inevitably rise through the ranks if you worked for someone to become a supervisor, a manager, or an owner of a business, because you just have that kind of aura about you, and people will have the sense that you have the ability to handle things. Now, the negative side of the 8 is, one is a propensity to worry too much, and at times the worry may be the money thing, depending on how your name is spelled. The other thing you would need the caution would be to be careful of your temper. 8 at times can have a pretty nasty temper. Anger can be a real issue. And you'd also need to be very careful of engaging in vindictive behavior if someone wrongs you. Now, you have a 1 challenge in the first position, so the indication there would be that you came out of a somewhat authoritarian background. And when you were young, at least for the first 28 years of your life, you may have had some difficulties with authority. You don't like to be told what to do, so you consequently would butt heads with people telling you what to do. And again, a lot of that comes out of the home, the family. You have a 4 challenge in the lifetime position. So the one thing associated with that is learning how to work, learning organization and discipline in your life. But the other deeper negative aspect of that is control issues. You need to be very careful with being too controlling with the people in your life. And you need to be also aware of the fact that in being controlling that you would also attract to yourself people who are controlling. So what you'll end up with is this continuous battle for you know, who's going to be able to lay the groundwork and set the rules for whatever situation you may be in. My mantra with this is the best control is no control. You need to learn to let things be and allow things to kind of play themselves out without expending too much time and energy in making sure that it goes your way. And the physical manifestation of that 4 challenge would be diseases such as arthritis and perhaps Parkinson's or things like that where you lose control of your physical body. So, again, the big caution there is you put that 4 energy into work with learning how to organize things and build foundations so you have something to work off of without getting too caught up there, again, in making sure that everything is done your way. With the name David, you have 3 4s in the spelling of your name. So the control thing might be a real big issue for you.
Does any of that ring a bell, David?
Oh, yeah. You're good.
Do you work with your hands at all, David?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you have a real talent. I mean, again, without knowing your full name, you have three fours in just your first name. The average number of times that a four appears in the name is 1 to 2, and fours are represented by the letters D, M, and P. So when people have a lot of fours in their name, one, you can be very anal. But the other thing is that you have a real ability to work well with your hands. So you could be a craftsman, a sculptor, whatever, or a musician, you know, something where, like a guitar or piano, where the hands are the thing that is actually needed to play the instrument. And another caution here, again, with all of that four energy and that eight life path, would be that when you get angry, you need to be careful that you don't get physical. Now, this may have been more of an issue when you were younger, I'm assuming at the age of, 52 now? That this has passed, but there may have been a time in your life when your anger ended up in fistfights.
Were you a bad boy when you were a teenager, David?
No.
Well, did you get angry?
Yeah, there was one time when I got angry.
Because David is so laid back, I can't even imagine him being like that.
Do you have a temper, David?
Yeah, I do, but I keep it restrained a lot. I think more about it, so I don't. I try and look on both sides. Rather than just looking on my side. So I try and understand both sides of it before I do act out, if I do.
Okay. Well, one of the good things to remember here when it comes to losing your temper, to getting angry, is that anger is misplaced power. And inevitably we get angry when someone moves us off of our PowerPoint. So what you need to become aware of and cognizant of is the fact that someone or something has done something to dislodge that for you. And rather than get angry, that's where the counting to 10 at times comes in handy, because it gives you a little bit of time to reflect on what exactly is going on here. And again, anger burns a lot of energy. It burns it incorrectly and ends up, more often than not, creating more problems than it's worth. And the other thing with the 8, if you lay an 8 on its side, it's a representation of infinity, or the law of return, the law of attraction. Now, we all lead karmic lives, but within 8, the karma at times can be almost instantaneous. So you need to be very, very aware of how you put yourself out there and how you do what you do, because the results will come back to you quite quickly. I use this as it's a very mundane example, but it gets the point across. If you were somewhere tonight, and when you left, you got in your car and you pulled out of the parking lot, and in pulling out of the parking lot, you cut somebody off.
Right.
Chances are very good that before you got home, someone would do the exact same thing to you.
Wow.
So you need to become aware of the cause-effect element of your actions, and understand fully that what you put out will return to you. So if you're not real happy with what's coming back at you, then you need to really take a good look at yourself and find a way to change that energy to a place and a point where it becomes productive and positive, as opposed to negative and unproductive.
Very interesting.
Now also, David, you're in a sixth personal year. Personal years in numerology are part of these continuing 9-year cycles. Personal years go birthday to birthday. So you're in a sixth personal year, which started at your birthday, will end at your birthday next year. So there will be more energy around home and family this year. And you may very well find yourself in a position this year where you may end up in somewhat of a caretaking role for someone. Perhaps you'll have to take care of an elderly parent or a sibling or something, someone who maybe runs into some health issues or some difficulty in life, and you may have to step into that void to take care of them. So it's very important if that does happen, that you embrace that with a great deal of love and grace and open arms, because it will help you in your life and it will help you in moving forward.
Wow. Oh,
you've
wow.
been forewarned, David.
I have. Oh, God, that's good.
Well, I'd like to know what my numbers mean, but I'm a woman that doesn't like to tell her age on air, so I'm going to pull Michael off live air for a second to give him my actual
okay.
birth date. So bear with us for a moment.
Okay. She'll return in a couple of minutes, people. So let's hang in there.
Okay, we are back.
Okay. Well, Pamela, you have a one life path. You have a 19 one life path. So the one is an indication that you're a leader, not a follower.
Right.
You're a person who, ones are idea people. They're originators. They're initiators. They're people who get things going. Now, many times you get things going, and they may not necessarily finish them. So it's important that whatever project you start, that you surround yourself with a team of people that can help you accomplish your goals.
Okay.
Okay. The 19-1 shows that you have leadership abilities and talent that would be very useful in the public service sector. You would very much be the person who's the head of a project as either the organizer, the director, the manager. You have a way with words, and you would certainly be a very good speaker or lecturer. You have a great deal of energy and vitality. And you've got a great intellect, so you have a mind that's very capable of overcoming things. You have a real ability to collect and synthesize information and learn from your past mistakes. You have a great ability to attract love and money. And, you know, there is the possibility of having a good marriage or a good relationship with a contented home life and material happiness and whatnot. Now, because your life path is a 1, but the 19-1, 1 is the first number, 9 is the last number. So in this lifetime, you may have a lot of situations of beginnings and endings. So you just need to learn to kind of ride the tide there. And you need it's very important for you to learn to master your emotions. So any upheavals don't create more negativity,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, if you're a very negative 19-1, there's a part of you that can almost lead a double life. On one hand, you can create a very positive image of yourself, while you may lead a life of lies and deceit and whatnot. So this is certainly a lifetime in which your courage will be tested and your strength will be tested. So it's important that you recognize these tests as they show up for what they are. And you need to really learn to not become victimized by that which you go through. Again, you have great endurance. You need to always remember and recognize the fact that, you know, it is darkest before the dawn. So no matter how upsetting, ugly, whatever the case may be, a situation may be, it's only a precursor to something better.
And as I've grown older, I've learned to think of it that way, that, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. Now, you have a 4 challenge in the first position, so chances are very good you came out of a very disciplined home. A lot of rules and regulations, perhaps parents or a parent who was military, police, something like that. But certainly rules and regulations.
My dad was a Marine.
There you
mm-hmm.
go.
Mm-hmm.
You do have a 3 lifetime challenge. So again, the three lifetime challenges, the challenge of self-esteem and self-expression. Again, finding your voice. So one of the great things for you, and obviously you do it because you're in broadcasting, is to use your voice to put yourself out there and to share your life and your views and your perceptions with others as a means of teaching and understanding. You have the final cycle of your life, which would be after the age of 62, is a 7. So a couple of things there. One, the last part of your life will certainly have a very large overriding element of study and research and spirituality. It'll certainly be a time for increasing your knowledge and information of things. It's also great that whatever you do learn, you turn around and share. And the other condition of a 7 final cycle is that if you're in a relationship, chances are very good you will outlive your mate.
Oh, wow. I guess I'm not telling my husband that.
Yeah. Well, he'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
Now, you are in a... you are currently in a 9 personal year. So you are in the final year of your current 9-year cycle. Now, just to give you a little more detail on the 9-year cycle, the best way to think of a 9-year cycle is to think about planting a garden. And then in a 1 year, you would plan and plant your garden. You would decide where in your yard you're going to put it. You would make a determination as to what it is you're going to plant, and you would go to the garden center and buy the soil and fertilizer and seed and whatever else you need to plant that garden. And then if you plant that garden, as long as you tend to it accordingly each step along the way, you will reap what you have sown. And that's pretty much the analogy for a 9-year cycle, that in a 1 year you make your plans, you work them accordingly, and then in the 8th and 9th year you will reap what you have sown. So now you are in your 9-year, so the reaping period may be over, but it's also very important that in a 9-year, you work to rid yourself of those things and situations and conditions and people in your life that do not serve you. It's very, very important that you take this step. It's very important that you recognize those things and people in your life that don't serve you and that you work to rid yourself of them. Now, some of these things may go away on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this stuff you're going to need to be proactive with. But the important thing to remember is this, that if there are things in your life that do not work in your best interest, that do not serve you at their highest good, if you do not rid yourself of them, if you carry them forward into your next 9-year cycle, if you think they're bad now, they're going to get worse.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, the incentive there, then, is to get rid of these things.
Yeah.
Because you want to go into your next 9-year cycle with a relatively clean slate. You want to be able to go into that next 9-year cycle in a way that will allow you to move forward, make new plans, and move forward unencumbered.
Okay. I think I pretty much got rid of the people that I don't want in my life at this point. But, now you have me rethinking, are there any more?
Yeah. Are there?
Yeah.
And again, these
so,
can also be situations and whatnot. So you really do want to kind of take that inventory, sit down and make up a list, and then, again, some of this stuff will just disappear on its own. It knows that its time is up, and it will move forward and move on. Other things may need a little kick in the butt, and that's where it's incumbent upon you to get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, as far as the money situation, I hope that my next 9 years is better than this 9 years, because I have not reaped all I need to reap. As a matter of fact, it seems like the well went dry, so I don't know what's going on there. So let's hope that that changes.
Well, I would, you're in your middle cycle, which is an 8. So of all the periods in your life, this is probably the very best period to really get yourself on some sound financial footing.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to do work that will bring back to you a return of money or rewards.
Okay, because I've been doing things recently, starting a new partnership with a friend of mine, and we're trying to get that going. So let's hope that one of these ideas, the many million ideas that I get, will come up to fruit, and I will reap what I sow.
Well, my caution here would be this, that you're in a 9-year. You might want to discuss new ideas. You don't want to put them into play until after your birthday.
Until after my next birthday?
Right, because if you begin them in a 9 personal year, you're beginning things in an ending vibration.
Ending it, yeah, that's true. That's true.
So
yeah, I didn't even think of that.
A probability of it perhaps not working out as well as it could.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
any project that is started in a 9-year, if in fact that's what you're going to do, because nine, where 1 is the individual, 9 is the everyman, 9 is the collective. So it would be imperative that what you begin has the potential and possibility of affecting the greatest number of people for the greater good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
I appreciate you telling me all of this. We do have a couple callers on hold, so I'd like to go ahead and grab the next one that's in line, and let's
sure.
see what you can do for them. Area code 978, you're live on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Name?
Maria.
And your birthday?
2/20/65.
All right, Maria, well, you have a 7 life path. So 7 is the seeker. 7 is the researcher, the analyst. 7s have a great interest in the metaphysical, the occult. They have a great interest in knowledge, in science, in mathematics. But again, you're the seeker. The favorite question of the 7 is why. You have a great need and desire to understand, and you don't take things at face value, and you don't take superficial answers as anything other than something to prompt the next question. So it's important, and 7s can also be teachers, they can also be writers, but it's very important with the 7 that, again, that which you learn, whatever wisdom and knowledge you accumulate, it's very important that you turn around and share that with others.
Okay.
Now, again, favorite question is why. 7s have some intuitive ability attached to it. So it's very important that you learn to trust your own instincts. Worst case scenario with the 7 is that they will ask a question, get an answer, and then question the answer. And they end up in this cycle of the equivalent of a dog chasing its tail. They never learn to land on any one answer because they don't really trust that which they're receiving. So you do need to learn to trust your instincts. One of the things I always advise clients is that it's important that you learn to ask yourself, how do you feel about something? Because when you ask yourself, what do you feel about something, you keep it right-brained activity. When you ask, what do I think about something, it becomes left-brained, it becomes very egocentric, ego-driven, and it ends up, again, in that cyclical thing of asking and answering and questioning answers. So, again, learn to trust yourself and your instincts in that regard. What kind of work do you do?
It's a whole bunch of things rolled into one. Customer service, web design, search engine optimization. I kind of do everything for a very small company.
Okay. So, but search engine optimization takes a lot of research, correct?
Yes.
So that's right in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
The good thing about a 7 is if you ask a 7 to look into something, they're never going to bring back one piece of paper. they're going to roll a cart filled with boxes of information. So that's right in, again, right in your wheelhouse, because you have that innate ability and desire to learn as much as you can about anything.
Yes, absolutely.
Now,
go on. The whole website thing, I had to teach myself how to do it all. It wasn't anything I was trained to do. It was just thrown into a position and had to learn it from scratch.
You have a one-lifetime challenge. Actually, you have a one challenge in the second and third position and the lifetime position. So the one challenge is very much about learning to stand on your own two feet, learning to be your own person. Okay? You need to learn to somewhat become independent and not so dependent on other people. And also, at you're in a current one personal year, so this is a year of new beginnings. This is a year of getting new projects going and whatnot. So if you have some idea in your head that maybe you've already implemented it, but if there's other things you're contemplating about doing or new direction or whatnot, this is certainly the time to do it for yourself.
Great.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. Very good.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Maria.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Marie.
Bye-bye. Okay, and the next one is coming through, I believe, dialing through Facebook or something, or maybe Skype. You're on the air. I think your name is Jane.
Hi there. Yes, my name's Jane.
Hello, Jane.
Hi.
And your birthday?
It's July 19th, 1957.
Okay.
And I know I'm a three.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
So the three is, again, the three is about creativity. It's about emotion. It's about words written or spoken. The big lesson, the life lesson for the three life path is that you learn to express yourself creativity and learn to express your emotion. Threes many times are writers, they're actors, they're entertainers. Threes tend to be the life of the party. It's a very social energy. They like to be, quote-unquote, on stage. That's where the life of the party thing comes into. But again, the creative energy in your lifetime is very strong. You have
totally.
Very true. Okay.
Yeah, I've built costumes. I've designed all kinds of things. I now am doing writing. I'm doing different type of work, but it's still creative. And it's also about expressing a lot of emotions, helping other people too.
Right. Anything that brings you enjoyment and fulfillment is going to be very appealing to you. And the potential for rewards and comfort and pleasures of a happy home are very much yours to have if you apply yourself accordingly. You have probably a great deal of sex appeal.
Yeah, probably.
You need to learn it. Learn to use it appropriately. But again, you're a very charming individual, so you certainly could get your way if you needed to. You have a sixth challenge in the first position. Did you come out of a broken home?
No, it wasn't a broken home. I grew up, my dad was alcoholic, but it was kind of like he did end up overcoming it.
Okay. So with the alcoholic parent, there usually is some level of codependency.
Yep.
Okay. And was there any abuse, verbal, physical, anything like that?
No, it wasn't that kind of, maybe a bit of verbal abuse, but mostly it was like unavailable because when he was drinking, he just wasn't in the zone, right?
That's emotional one.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have a lifetime challenge of a three. So again, finding your voice was very important for you. So being in a field where you get to create is very good for you and very important for you because it does allow you to express yourself in a very positive fashion. Now, you were born in 1957.
Yeah. It's a long time ago now.
And Pam, your son was born in 1984. Both of those years are 22 universal years. Now, numerology, again, it's based on the numbers 1 through 9, but there's a set of numbers, 11, 22, 33, 44, 55, that are known as master numbers.
Right.
These are a higher calling of the lower vibration. And there were only 7 22 universal years in the entire 20th century, and no one on this planet will see another 22 universal year for no one that's alive today will see another one. And it's always been my belief that the 22 universal years in the 20th century were, I call them portal years, that they were years where beings of a higher sentient consciousness entered the plane. And if you look at historically through the 20th century, and the 22 universal years were 39, 48, 57, 66, 75, 84, 93. If you look at the history, you'll notice that very big things happened in those particular years. So, again, my belief that there was a level of higher sentient consciousness that entered the plane. So in the final cycle of your life, which for you would be after the age of 60, the potential is there for big things to happen. There's a potential there for you to personally be involved in big projects that help the greater good.
I feel that. I feel the calling to do that, yeah.
Okay. And on a global scale, all the people that were born in that year could combine that energy, that great things could be done to help assist in the growth and health and healing of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
You are currently in a 5 personal year. Again, this will go to your birthday next year. So this is a year of change. It's been a horrible year.
It's been just, I mean, I shouldn't say it's been horrible, but it's just challenge. One challenge.
What kind of challenge?
Well, now I'm dealing with some, it feels more like health challenges. I just don't have the energy now. It's like I'm waiting to get to see a specialist to deal with it, but I've just started a lot of projects. Nothing's really clicking and coming together. Just a lot of stuff.
Well, one of the things you need to be cautious, a 5 is a very active energy. It's a very curious energy. It can also have a tendency to scatter energy.
Mm-hmm.
So the caution for you would be to be sure that you don't take on more than you can handle.
Yeah.
You need to be a little discerning in the projects in which you get involved. You don't need to do everything that comes your way.
Yeah, I've had to.
Okay. And there's an element with the 5 that demands balance and focus. That being said, though, 5s can be very active years. And again, it could create it's a year of change. So there could be a job change. There could be a move. Certainly a good year to travel. And it's certainly a year to kind of make some adjustments in the course that you've taken to make adjustments in a fashion that would be more beneficial to you.
Yeah, it's been very challenging because I thought I'd gone through it last year, a lot of stuff. And I think it's been the story of my life. It's like one struggle, one challenge after another all my life. It's like I've learned from each thing I've had to go through. It's given me more skills to help other people, but it's been very, very trying.
Well, I would my advice to you would be to take advantage of the changes that show up and kind of pick and choose the one that will be most beneficial for you.
Yeah.
And also take the opportunity this year to change direction and change course wherever possible to make things perhaps a little bit easier for you. Because when you move into your 6th personal year at your birthday next year, things should settle down a little. Although there may be some added responsibility, things should kind of settle down to a point, and money will probably flow a little bit easier for you too.
Oh, I'll have to wait till then.
But again, the idea is to make those course adjustments this year.
Yeah, because I find it really interesting. I'm not, my vision's been affected, and I'm having a lot of challenges with my one eye, and everything's blurry, and it's really affecting a lot of things.
Well, what in your life are you not looking at, or are you choosing, or are you kind of shying away from?
I really don't know. If I knew that, I would deal with it.
Well, I would. My advice would be to kind of sit down, write yourself a letter.
Yeah.
And write yourself a letter as if you haven't seen yourself in 40 years. Because vision problems are metaphysically an indication that there's something that you're not seeing, or there's something you're having a difficult time seeing. So you might want to kind of fine-tune that to see exactly what it is that you're choosing to not look at.
Yeah, it's really hard to get there yourself.
Well, if you say that it's hard, it will be, yes.
Well, I've tried, you know.
Well, you tried, but trying is having the intention to fail.
I know.
With all
due
respect, that's a word that needs to be eliminated from the vocabulary.
I would say the same to someone else.
Well, it's time you start listening to yourself then.
Yeah.
Before you end up with a hearing problem.
Yeah. Well, it's also hereditary, and I don't know how that fits in with things.
Well, I always have a problem with hereditary because, to me, there's an element of hereditary that means you're buying into a mindset that may not necessarily apply to you.
Well, that's what I'm – yeah, obviously. I certainly don't want to choose that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, maybe it's really just this year that it's a change. Maybe that's what it is.
Right. So, again, you know – And if you can recognize that, then my advice again would be to, you know, make the changes positive changes. Make the changes things that serve you in a greater fashion. You don't need to pluck every apple off the tree.
Yeah, and I may already have done some of that, but it's just that you don't see the results. You know, you plant those seeds and they don't always pop right away.
Right, and what was that phrase you just used?
I said about the seeds. You plant seeds.
No, before that, you don't see everything?
Ah.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
I've planted a lot of things, right? I started different projects.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I wish you all the best in whatever it is you do, but pay attention to the signs. Physical stuff is always an indication of something on a mental or emotional level that's not being dealt with.
Okay.
And you can draw those direct line correlations between your physical ailments and whatever else is going on in your life. It's a real good way to clear up the physical stuff, and it's a real good way to kind of get out of your own way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you
so
much for calling in, Jane.
Okay.
Thank you, Jane.
Take care. Bye-bye. I have one more birth date that I'd like to give you from someone in our chat room that wasn't able to call in, if you could, please.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Her name is Erin, and her birth date is May 29th, 1960.
Okay. All right. All right. All right, Erin has a 5 life path. So Erin's life should be one of constant movement. 5s are, again, a very active, very curious number. It's not a number that sits still. It certainly is not a number that does well sitting at a desk. The occupation, the profession needs to be something that creates an environment of constant change, constant adventure. Sitting still, doing the same thing over and over will drive an individual absolutely nuts. There is, 5s are very quick-witted and quick-minded. They have a great capacity to pick concepts up and make sense out of abstractions. And because of that, they tend to be very good in sales because, again, they have a way to make things make sense to people. the caution with the five, and because Aaron has a five challenge in the second position, five, one of the other indications of the five is it's a representation of the human condition of the five senses. And because of that, I call it the sex, drugs, and rock and roll number.
Yeah.
Because there can be a tendency at times to overindulge in pleasures of the senses. And with the five challenge, there may have certainly been a period of time in Aaron's life where she was a bit of a party girl. So the caution is always to be careful that in times of duress or upset, whatever the case may be, that you do not fall into a sensual pleasure remedy, promiscuity, drugs, drinking, overeating, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. She has a two challenge in a lifetime position. So her biggest challenge in life was to learn patience, to learn sensitivity and tolerance of others. She may have a great struggle with patience. So again, it's really something that she needs to learn, because until she learns it, the running out of patience with people is never going to get you too far. She certainly, I don't know what kind of work she does, but again, she thrives in any environment where change and adventure are part of the scenario. And she just needs to make sure that she makes each change a step in the right direction towards a positive life and accomplishing that which she chooses to accomplish. Two of the big watchwords with, because five is the middle number between one and nine, that one of the two of the conditions are to learn focus and to learn balance. You need to learn the fine art of the follow through. You need to finish what you begin, because the prototypical five will have a house full of unfinished projects. They're like a little kid with a bright, shiny object. They get attracted to one thing, and then they see something else, and they move on to the next project. So it's very important mm-hmm. that you finish what you begin. And the other thing is that you maintain balance. You need to know and establish your middle ground, and you need to find a way to anchor yourself there, so if things come along that set you off in one direction or the other, that you can pull yourself back to that middle ground and accomplish that what you're setting out to. If she's too negative, she may have this set of principles that is very strict, and she can almost be patronizing to people at times. She also would, again, if this is the negative side of this number, that she could become very selfish and resort to getting angry and throwing a hissy fit when things don't go her way. But if she stays on a positive side of 23-5, she can look forward to a comfortable life with a loving family and all the material comforts and respect and whatnot that she desires. She is currently in she's in a 22-4 personal year. So the underlying four shows that this is a year to create a greater structure, greater foundation, greater organization in her life for moving forward. The 22 shows that this can certainly be a year for travel, also making plans, making your dreams come true. And because it's a master number, there could be an element, again, of bigger projects and bigger things that create a better world and for the big picture. 22 is known as the master builder, so there's a bit of responsibility that comes along with that, again, in creating things that are good. So it's important that she stays organized. It works in a practical fashion. Again, she can work on a big project and initiate a big project, but it's important that she has all her ducks in order to make it come to fruition.
Wow. Well, I have to tell you, in the chat room, she says she doesn't drink or do drugs, but she loves to spend. Patience, yes, I guess she needs to learn to do that. She's saying, that's me about finishing stuff. And she wants to move forward with doing her spiritual work regarding intuitive readings and writings.
Okay.
So
well, again, there's an element of focus there. So, and because her middle cycle, which her birth date is the day of her birth, is the 29th, which reduces to an 11th. So the middle cycle of her life from 31 to 58, the overriding energy is the 11, which is the intuitive and inspirational teacher. There's also a great deal of intuitive ability that can be attached to that. So she's certainly in the time frame of her life where I would encourage her greatly to move forward and do what she needs to do. And again, and the caution is, because one of the things that somewhat bugs me at times with people in the metaphysical world is this tendency to want to be an expert on everything. You know, they do astrology, they do dream interpretation, they do hypnosis, they do all, you know, and it's like, you know, if you can pull all of that off, God bless you. But Erin would be much better served in finding one thing that she could focus on to do, as opposed to attempting to be a little bit of something for everyone.
Right, right. That makes sense. You know, be a professional in one category of whatever
right.
it is you want to learn about
right.
and teach.
Be the best you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And move forward in that. I mean, I personally, I do numerology. That's all I do. Now, I use it as a means and a tool to counsel people, to be a life coach, whatever the case may be. But everything I do springs out of my work with numerology. I don't dabble in or put myself out there as an expert or whatever in any other field. I'm well-read, and I know a lot of stuff, but everything I do, I incorporate, again, into the ground, the foundation of numerology.
And that's why you're so good at what you do. My gosh,
okay.
I mean, you have pinpointed so many things for people that you've just now spoken about, and Maria that I called in left a message on my Facebook saying that you were scary accurate. And that she thanks you again, and she's going to buy your book.
Okay.
So that's wonderful.
In that regard, if people wish to buy my book, if they go to my website, MichaelJohnFierro.com, they can order the book. The cover price is $17.95. I offer free shipping and handling. And for the $17.95, they get a signed copy of the book. They get a one-hour DVD of a TV interview I did, which explains numerology, and I will do their chart calculations for them.
Wow.
Wow,
that's amazing.
Nice.
So I'm definitely – I think she's still listening. So, Maria, yeah, she's still listening. So you heard that. Go to his website so you can get all of that stuff. That's a more bang for your buck for sure.
Right. And also through my website, people can book a reading.
Mm-hmm.
I also
and you do group and individuals, right?
Well, a group I only do live in person.
Okay.
Individual readings, I do all my work over the phone. I use an online service so the client gets an MP3 file of their session.
Oh, wonderful.
But I also offer written reports on challenges. I offer written reports on relationship compatibility because the difference between your numbers and my numbers will be the issues about which we will have difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
I also offer written reports for newborns if you're a parent or a grandparent and you want an idea of what your child is going to be and how you can become a better parent or grandparent in guiding that child. I certainly encourage people to do that. And then I also, this is something new for the holidays, I'm offering personalized numerology calendars.
Hmm.
I love that.
And what that will do is every day your calendar will give you what your personal day is. There will be an index attached to the calendar so you can read what it is. There will also be information about your personal years and the essence, which is another part of a numerology chart. Year-by-year breakdown of your life based upon the spelling of your name, so you can have a very good idea of what's going on for you in your life. And, again, you can look at your life on a day-to-day basis to see what's going on. And then each month we'll have a some sort of an inspirational saying and picture as the header of the calendar.
I absolutely love that. I think that would make an awesome Christmas gift for anybody. I mean, it doesn't
yeah.
matter who they are, if it's a child or an adult, if it's a man or if it's a woman. It's for somebody that has everything. It's for somebody that has
yep.
very little but can get some inspiration from looking at, you know, the months and the days of the calendar. I
right.
think that's an excellent idea. I love it, and I thank you for doing that. I definitely will be getting my own off of your website, and I know Maria now is getting yours because we're talking on Facebook as we're doing this.
Well, the calendar offer is on my website. It's under the link for holiday specials. And services and schedules is where people can book a reading or get order a written report or whatever the case may be.
Okay. And speaking of Facebook, you're also on Facebook, and it would be facebook.com/MichaelJohnFierro. Do you always go
it's
by three
Michael
names?
John Fierro, it's Michael John Fierro hyphen numerologist.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And
sorry,
and the
I didn't
book,
see that
my
part.
Book also has a page, you know your name, look up your numbers. Yes, and I always use my, for professional reasons, I use my entire name.
Okay.
Okay. And we didn't have touched upon this, but I'm very adamant that people will and use their real name. Because
you mean like
you need,
instead of going by Pam, go by Pamela?
Yes. Because it's who
Why
you truly
that?
Are. Well, mm-hmm. again, we go back to what I said earlier about your soul choosing for you your name and your birth date and your family of origin before you got here because it knew that's who you needed to be. And your
okay.
birth name energy never, ever goes away. So if you're a woman and you get married and you change your name, name changes to me, and it's very appropriate here at this time of year, is the equivalent of putting on a Halloween costume.
No.
You are pretending to, you are pretending to be someone else. And because
so
you're
when
a
you
birth
do
name,
numerology, do you use somebody's maiden name?
That's the only name I look at.
Okay, okay.
When I do a reading, it is based upon your name, the way it is spelled on your birth certificate. And I emphasize
okay.
the way it is spelled because if your name is misspelled, that's what gets read. If you're
okay.
one of those individuals whom when you were born, your parents didn't quite know what to name you and the birth certificate needed to be filled out, and your birth certificate says Baby Girl Johnson, that's what I read.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I remember. I remember you saying that.
And
I remember you saying that someplace else.
And that energy never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So when you change your name, you've taken on a new identity. And what happens, just as I can do a relationship compatibility report for someone, we take
mm-hmm.
your chart and your husband's chart, and the main numbers, you look at the differences, and those are the issues, the stress points, the conflict points. Well, the same thing happens if you for an individual who changes their name. What you end up with is what's known as intrapersonal stress. You get these stress points within your life where your birth name energy is attempting to assert itself above and beyond the assumed name.
And so maybe that's where I've been going wrong all these years. I've been going by Pam and not Pamela then, huh?
Right, because you're pretending to be
mm-hmm.
someone else.
Oh, my gosh. Who would ever think that? I mean, so many people in this world don't know that.
Well, I have a lot of empirical evidence based upon all of my work through the years that shows that to be
mm-hmm.
true.
I know a woman
I went through high school and stuff with her, and her name is Mary Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
But on her birth certificate, when she was first born, her parents named her Marilyn. And then
okay.
grandma showed up at the hospital and said, what are you doing? You can't name the baby Marilyn. The baby's name has to be Mary Ellen. So literally on her birth certificate, Marilyn was crossed out and Mary Ellen was written in.
Hmm.
And I became close to this one for a while back in the late 90s. And the more I got to know her, the more I could tell when she was being Marilyn and when she was being Mary Ellen. There was a very
wow.
distinctive difference in her approach to things. She wasn't schizophrenic,
Right.
But you certainly have two different ways of approaching situations depending on per mood.
Isn't that something? Well, I'm going to have to try to remember to call myself Pamela because I've never been very enthused about the name, but and that's why I just go by Pam. But it really makes you rethink all of that with what you just said.
So, ladies, if you're in the audience, if you're going to get married, keep your maiden name. If you're going through a divorce, make sure that taking your maiden name back is part of the divorce proceedings, because attempting to change your name in today's day is a little difficult.
Right, right.
And
definitely.
If you're going to have a child and you plan on naming the baby John with the intention of calling him Jack, name him Jack.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
And also, don't name your child after your husband.
Uh-oh. I did one of them.
Mm-hmm. And how did they get along?
Well, I would say the majority has been perfectly fine until now that this last couple of years, I would say, they kind of butt heads a little bit. But that comes down to my son being stubborn and hard-headed and think he's right all the time.
Well, but, you know, I'll use myself as an example. I was named after, and first of all, to go to your soul naming you. Okay, before I mm-hmm. was born, back in the day, before they could tell you whether you were a boy or a girl, my name was going to be James Allen Fierro.
Okay.
And my name was James Allen Fierro until the moment the nurse walked into the room and said to my mother, "What's the baby's name?" And she answered, "Michael John." Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't want to name me Michael John because that was my father's name.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the same name as my father. And even though we have different birth dates, our life path number was also the same. And I never really got along too well with my father. There were moments where we did, but there was a lot of conflict in my relationship with my father. And I came to realization back in the 90s that one of the problems that existed for myself and my father was the fact that numerologically, we were the same person.
So we were betting heads together because of being the same person. I can see how that happens, because that's what they say about me and my father. My father's an Aries, and I'm an Aries. So we're too much alike.
Right. Well, in this case, numerologically, vibrationally, it was like Close Encounters of the Third Kind in the first person.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we came in contact with one another, we saw the best and worst in ourselves in the other person.
Right.
And if we were on the same page, it was good. But if we weren't, it was great conflict.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I can definitely understand that as well. My brother's named after my father. My father was named after his father. My son is named after my husband. My husband was named after his father. So I can see this cycle.
Right.
But I have to tell you, my son had a son, my grandson, and he did not name him after him. So actually, he has two sons. So they broke that pattern.
Yes, and again, you know, it sounds a little silly, but again, in my experience, and that's all I can, you know, use as a barometer, I see what happens, and I look at it, again, from the perspective of the numerologist, and why would that conflict show up? And again, the conflict was, you know, what is it about other people that we don't like? It's ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's my reflection in you that I dislike. So imagine seeing yourself all the time.
Right. Exactly. I so understand that right now. You have no idea. Thank you for letting everybody else know, too, as well. Think before you name your child. Think before you write that name on the birth certificate. That's a huge, huge difference that you'll make in a child's life. Mm-hmm.
Remember to name your child.
So I want to thank you so much. Pardon, David?
Remember to name your child when it's born.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, that too. I want to thank you so much, Michael, for spending time with us. And I know I kept you over a little bit, and I apologize for that. But I really thoroughly enjoyed listening to you.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And if you ever want me to return, just let me know.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe after the new year and you know, people will be around a little bit more because a lot of people right now are taking their time off or working hard for Christmas. You know how that goes.
Right. Well, again, people can find me on Facebook, Michael John Fierro, numerologist. They can like my book page. I don't think we've connected on Facebook, Pamela. So
no, I'm going to.
And then all the information about me is can be found on my website, upcoming events, media events that I do and whatever. And, again, I'm available for private consultations by phone, so no matter where you live, we can hook up.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And I'm going to put the information on my website as well. It's on there now as, you know, showing up as a new guest, but I'm going to put it on there so it stays on there so people can find it. My website is take2radio.com, and it's with the number 2. And before I let you go, Maria just bought the book, so look for her name.
Okay.
And I want you to take care of yourself. It sounds like you have a little bit of a cold there.
No, sometimes if I talk too much, it's just a tickle in my throat, that's all.
Oh, okay. All right, good. I want you well. And we will connect again in the new year. Thank you again so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Good night. Thanks, David, and best wishes to everyone.
Thank you,
Mike.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
What an interesting show. I absolutely loved it. I could listen to him talk for hours, even if it's about somebody else.
I could, too. I could go out and get people's birthdays and
I know, right? Well, you can in a way think about it, you know, when you're buying your Christmas gifts, you know, maybe get that calendar for them. I think that would be an awesome idea.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't be nice, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It sure would be worth it. Have them find out some things about themselves, and maybe they would get curious enough to contact Michael and get their own reading or their own chart or something through his website or by calling him and contacting him. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to have him back in the new year as one of our guests, and we have to let people know more about him and how accurate he is. My gosh, he blew my mind.
Oh, God. Maria, are you still there?
Yes, Maria's still here.
Maria,
still
you're
listening.
Right. He is scary.
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
Oh, my God. Because I was very awful as a kid between my father and me, but not right now. Mm-hmm. These days I don't fight at all because I don't want to.
Right,
you know,
right.
I just don't need the grief, as they say, right? You know,
exactly.
But when I was growing up, I wanted to stake my claim and let it be heard. But I know, like I told you, it's the way it was for me. It says, well, this might not be how others do it, but this is the way you're going to do it because it's in your best interest. That's how it went with my family. They never went along with what everyone else did. They wanted what was best for you.
Which was probably more best for them.
Easier for them.
Right. I'd love to contact Michael and get the chart for my second son and find out about it because now, you know, he shares a name like you as David, and he always has to have the last word. Is that how you are?
Not now, but then, yes.
Before you were? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll bet that's exactly like my son David. He's got to have the last word. When you're having an argument, no matter what, you know, when you say enough, that's it, I'm not saying anymore, and then he'll say something again, and then you say, I don't want to hear anymore, that's it, we're done, and he'll say something again, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, he just doesn't want this argument to end, does he?
That's how I was, exactly.
Yeah. I can see that. So, well, I want to thank all of our listeners that joined us today, and thank you to our callers that called in, Maria and Jane, and Aaron from the chat room. Thank you for giving me your birth date so I could give that to Michael. And anybody else that wanted to call in but didn't, you know, go ahead and check out Michael's website, which is michaeljohnfierro.com. And contact him. If you buy his book, he'll do a chart for you, and I think that's amazing. You get a lot of things with it than if you just went ahead and bought it on Amazon or somewhere else. check him out on Facebook and, you know, like his page, and if you have any questions, I'm sure he'll answer you on there as well. Our next guest coming up will be on November 4th, which is Tuesday. At 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have, this is Sabina's friend. His name is Tony, and he goes by Lounging with Tony. I believe he has his own show. He's been an extra on a lot of different shows, and one of them being Days of Our Lives. So it should be a very interesting chat with him. I don't know a lot about him yet because I just actually booked him. And, again, it was through Sabina, my other co-host. So we'll find out more, and I'll be putting that up on the website. And, again, that's take2radio.com. And follow us on Twitter at take2radio. Follow David and Sabina, take2radio crew. And follow us on Blog Talk. They'll send you an email each and every time we have a show scheduled so you don't miss any. If you'd like to listen to any of the previous podcasts as well as this one from tonight, you know, like for Maria or Jane or Aaron, if you'd like to hear what he had to say again because you didn't remember everything, you can listen to this podcast again when I put it on the website a little bit later on tonight. Or use the same link that you use to listen to the show live tonight. That'll work as the podcast. So you can listen to it at any time. You can download it to your own computer, and that way you'll have it, you know, to go back and listen to again. And, David, did you want to say any goodbyes or anything before we go?
I just wanted to thank our listeners, new and old, for checking us out, and I hope you keep on following us.
Thank you. Did you want to acknowledge your friends?
Yes, I do. There is one lady I'd like to mention, and her name is Leslie, and she has just recognized our show. She's a very busy lady down in Florida. She used to help me with my sites, and I want to say thank you, Leslie, for listening to us, and I hope you continue to do so.
Wonderful. Thank you, Leslie, and everybody else out there. I want to wish you a blessed night. Enjoy your night, and we'll be back again on the 4th. Take care, everybody. Good night, David, and thank you for co-hosting with me again.
You're so welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Night, everybody.